This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
That boy good.
And Chris Ello.
Max Muncy sucks.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, indeed. We're back underway from Peoria, day two of our two-day stay at Padres Spring Training. The back patio, the Peoria Sports Complex. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. heading on over to Scottsdale. He and Jesse Agler will have the call of tonight's game between the Padres and Giants. You'll hear it right here on 97.3 The Fan following our program today. And then Scraby and I'll be heading back to San Diego, and we'll be coming to you from the Odyssey Palace Studios tomorrow. But it's been a good couple of days. One quick programming note. Tyler Wade and Brandon Lockridge are going to swap places here in this hour. So it'll be Tyler Wade coming up in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. Brandon Lockridge after that, although Scraby's shaking his head.
No, I'm not shaking my head at that.
Oh,
I'm having major issues with the technology today. Internet is not working that well today.
Sorry to hear that, Scrab.
Yeah.
Anything I can do to help?
Yeah, go feed the hamster.
Go. What does that mean? To run the wheel,
yeah,
so
run
that
the
energy?
Yes.
I see.
Go feed that, please.
All right, I'll do that for you. But at first, I got to tell you about this. Now, we're going to get into the Daily Gambit. There's really, you know, we'll do some picks and, you know, just talk about some of these spreads. But there's a story right now, and I want my Aztec fans to listen up to this. There's a story on ESPN Plus.
You know, the stuff I have to pay for it, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a story on there. And here's the headline of the story. Double-digit seeds with the highest upset potential in the men's NCAA tournament.
Ooh.
All right, so you're taking teams that are seeded 10th, 11th, you know, 12th, double-digit seeds. Teams most likely to win as double-digit seeds. Here's the biggest, most probable upset, according to ESPN Plus.
Okay.
North Carolina beating Ole Miss.
Oh, so they've already given North Carolina the spot.
Exactly. Thank you.
Have to go against the Aztecs.
You're seeing it the exact same way I read it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I know that it's North Carolina. I said this earlier. I get it. They are, you know, royalty in college basketball. Michael Jordan went there, okay? I got you. But
that doesn't appeal to
Aztecs,
me.
Right. The Aztecs have won 7 tournament games in the last 2 years. They at least deserve a little bit of love and respect. But to write an article and say, oh, the most probable upset is North Carolina being Ole Miss, as if the Aztecs aren't even in the tournament is anyway. I want everybody to be yelling a little louder at their TV than they were going to be in the first place.
I am 100% with you. I hate when the media does this. They just, I mean, okay, I think. In the national media, would I pay attention to San Diego State and North Carolina? Yes, because San Diego State just went to the championship game two years ago? They were in the Sweet 16 last year?
Last year's Sweet 16. That's what I say. Seven tournament wins in the last 2 years.
Why does no one give them respect?
Well, don't get we know why it is. It's because they're in the Mountain West, and they play on the West Coast. And these people at ESPN all live on the East Coast.
They do.
And they all go to bed, you know, before the Aztecs even take the court.
Yeah.
It takes a really savvy college basketball analyst to even bring up how great, you know, the atmosphere is at Viejas and what it's about and the fact that it's been sold out for about 14 straight years and the success that this program has had. I saw Seth Greenberg interviewed today, and he's now officially a turncoat. This is a guy that...
turncoat.
Yeah, this is a guy that used to coach at Long Beach State, right? He was kind of just a Southern California. Then he got the job at Virginia Tech and a couple of other, you know, schools. And now he's an ESPN, you know, analyst. And they're talking to him about North Carolina's chances to go to the Sweet 16. And he's saying they're really good. And I'm like, don't you know they even have to play a game first?
That is true.
I hope the Aztecs have one of their days. Because I know if they have one of their days, they're going to whip them. But... you know?
You never...
The Aztecs have to win to make all of this complaining worthwhile. Otherwise, it's just noise.
I am not...
you know?
I'm confident in the Aztecs. But this team...
I know.
This team has issues.
Well, first of all, they're going to be... you know, the first five possessions of the game, they're going to commit a foul.
Well, Chris,
which
last
drives
time Chris
me crazy.
Watched the game in the studio with me. He was like, "Oh, another foul away from the ball. What are they doing?"
I know, away from the ball, 50 feet from the basket. BJ Davis, who's you know been incredible this year, but he just can't help himself. He's got to foul somebody 50 feet from the basket. So stop doing that. They got to get us. You know, they got to get an offensive rebound because Boise State killed him with that. I'm hoping that, you know, Magoon Gwath being in there will help, you know, change some of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, 6:10 for the Aztecs, North Carolina. You can listen to Tony and Jesse, watch the
game,
or do whatever you need to do. But that's coming up. All right, let's do a little daily gambit. So we don't have a ton of stuff, but we'll give you some odds and some lines. Here we go.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
And today's Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris, what you got for us today?
Well, not a lot. Not a lot.
Right.
I got the North Carolina Aztecs game. The line has gone back and forth a little bit.
Okay.
Started at 3.5. Then everybody bet on North Carolina, so went up to 4.5. But looking at the latest here on ESPN Bet, it's back to 3.5. So maybe some people are, you know, believing in the red and black there a little bit. The other game, there's actually a game before that.
It's a 16 seed game, right?
Yeah, the 2-16 seed, St. Francis of Pennsylvania. Taking on Alabama State.
You know, I've heard the St. Francis of North Dakota was way better than St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
I don't know about that. But I knew that St. Francis of Pennsylvania is in the tournament. Alabama State's favored by 3.5 points. It's interesting because all four of these San Diego teams are in the in their tournament, right? You got the Aztec men today. You got the UCSD women tomorrow. You got the UCSD men on Thursday. Hopefully you got the Aztec men again on Friday, and then you got the Aztec women Saturday. The point is all the teams are underdogs except for CSD women.
Wow, nice job.
Tomorrow night, because they're in the play-in game as well against Southern, and they're actually favored by 2.5 points. So.
All right.
We got to win a couple of these things.
We have to win at least one.
Right? We have to win it. No, I want more.
You can't go 0 for 4.
Exactly.
That would be depressing.
Right? I mean, we're so excited about college basketball. Right now, all four teams going in, and, you know, how many of them are going to survive the week? It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. I'll tell you, the team everybody believes in more than any other is not the Aztecs. It's UC San Diego's men's team. More and more people that I'm reading and looking on, are beat Michigan, and they are going to beat Texas A&M, and they're going to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Now, there is one statistic in their favor, UCSD's favor against Michigan. UCSD never turns the ball over, and UCSD forces a ton of turnovers, second most in the country.
So they got a plus. They got a plus on the turnover.
Very
differential.
Good at forcing turnovers. Michigan ranks 328th in turning the ball over.
So they turn it over almost most in the country.
So Michigan turns it over almost more than any other team in the country. UCSD gets more turnovers than anybody. It's set up for UCSD to just take the ball away from Michigan night long.
I'm not a college basketball coach.
Right.
But isn't it a focus to expose that if you're airballing?
Yes, he will. Oh, he's going to put pressure on Michigan and hope they turn it over. Absolutely.
Michigan
That's
is
be how
like,
they're going to win the game.
Michigan's quote-unquote brand name. But
Same
I would
thing.
Love to see UCSD come in and just beat them.
Same thing, man. Michigan, I told you yesterday, Michigan is coached by Dusty May. It was the Nick Boyd's coach at Florida Atlantic when the Aztecs played them in the Final Four. Anyway, so good luck to all the NCAA tournament teams in San Diego this week. There's really nothing else
That's
in the spread
huge,
department.
That is huge. I mean, to have four teams in the tournament.
And
think about if USD, you could have up to six teams in a tournament if all the teams in San Diego were good.
Yeah. That didn't quite happen.
No, it USD didn't. Left no, they us, were very far away
left
from
us
the
a little short of that.
Yes.
But we got four.
They won a WCC tournament game. So,
they did. But that was as far as USD went this year.
That is true.
All right. Aztecs, North Carolina, 3.5-point spread. 144 is the over-under if you're into that. I don't think it's going to be that high. I think North Carolina wants it to be that high. But the Aztecs will be better served if they keep the game in the 60s tonight.
That's their game.
Patience, get good shots on offense, and make North Carolina work deep in the shot clock to get looks at the other end of the floor. Don't get in a run-up-and-down game. That's not going to help the Aztecs, I don't think.
I will not text you tonight with the score, I promise.
I will be driving. I will not watch this game until about midnight tonight. That is... Like, Scraby cannot believe that that's going
to
happen.
That is wild to me, because I'm going to turn on the TV thing, and I'm going to put it in my seat, and I'm just going to listen to it through the car.
You are not. You're going to pick up the phone and look at it while you're driving.
Oh, no. You were in the car with me. I was a great driver.
You won't even be tempted once to pick up the phone and look at the score on the phone?
No, because they'll tell me.
Interesting.
They'll tell me.
See, I think you're crazy. You think I'm crazy.
I don't need to see the game. I'm a radio guy, Chris. I love radio play-by-play.
Yes, but you're going to be listening.
This is TV play-by-play. Yeah, you're right.
You're going to be listening to TV play-by-play.
Okay, fine. I'm not gonna tune into the place to broadcast it either, because that is against my feelings. So I guess I'm just not going to consume the game whatsoever.
I don't know what you're going to do. I think what you should do is set it up on your DVR and watch it when you get home, like I'm going
to
do.
I don't want to do that.
All right. When we come back, what did you decide on? Tyler Wade?
Yeah, Tyler Wade.
Padres from spring training after a check of traffic for those of you there in San Diego. All right, welcome back to Quinn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby from Peoria, day two of our spring training broadcasts. And great interviews with Padre players, including a man who last year, Scraby, played second base. He played shortstop, played third, played left, right, and center.
Was that good?
He also DH'd.
Oh, okay.
And he was a pinch hitter.
Okay.
I don't know why Tyler Wade couldn't just step in and catch or pitch.
He needs to.
He also didn't play first base. Those are the only ones he did not play last year.
I'm sure he could if they needed him to.
Pretty valuable guy.
And he also put his life on the line for the Padres last year when he dove in face first into home plate and put his head right into the dirt. Do you remember that, Chris?
I don't, for some reason. Which game
into,
was that? Was
I think it might have even been against the Marlins, but he dove into home and he took a face full of dirt. He was safe. But he was down for a little bit, so that's when I really respected Tyler Wade.
Stole 8 bases last year and had 156 plate appearances over 90 games. The ultimate team guy, the ultimate guy that you need to – every team needs one of these guys. And Tony and I were able to catch up with Tyler Wade and talk a little bit about his do-everything role with the Padres. Continuing on from Padres spring training, Gwynn and Chris, and happy to be joined by Padres infielder, outfielder, catcher, pitcher, DH.
Keep it going, yeah.
Pitching coach, Tyler Wade is our guest. Tyler, how's spring this year? Second year with the ball club as opposed to coming in last year and maybe trying to prove yourself a little more.
Yeah, it's been good, man. I keep saying it. It's kind of like seeing family after a while, you know.
Yeah.
Getting really close with the guys last year and having a special year. And obviously we got unfinished business, so it was like eager to get into camp. And it's good to see the boys, man. It's like getting the summer ball group back together, man, and ready to ride. But it's been good.
It's a little bit different for you this spring, as Chris kind of alluded to. I mean, you did such a good job in that role and have earned the trust of Mike Shildt. You come in, I think, from a little bit different viewpoint than you did last year. How has it been kind of, you know, trying to get right as you get closer to the season in the role that you are in this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think my regardless of, you know, last year coming in as a minor league free agent and then this year, you know, having a contract, it's still the same mindset, you know, coming up, showing up every day, earning a job, and nothing's given. So going out there and balling, you know, still showing my skill set, working on some things offensively. But, yeah, man, I feel good. I think, you know, missing that week from being sick and then now, you know, kind of seeing things kind of coming into fruition and seeing all the work in the cage and then the BP kind of start showing up in the game yesterday, I felt really good.
They had the triple.
Yeah, I felt really good, man. Just trusting the process, you know. I feel like in spring training, you guys know, like, if you start barreling balls, you're like, oh, that's a good spring training out. But it's like, oh, you know, like, for the mental, you want to see some stuff fall, you know.
Yeah, right.
But like now, like, you know, like trusting the process, swinging at good pitches, and then I just defensively, man, like, I feel really good. So just trying to keep this momentum that I've built from the offseason until now, just rolling in opening day, man, and whenever my name's called, man, just kind of continue that mindset that I had last year into this year.
I know in a different world of a major league ball player, but a bloop single still feels better than a deep line out that is caught by the right fielder. I've tried to convince myself otherwise, but it always seems like the bloop single just feels a little bit better, right?
Chris, I'll take 17 broken back
right.
hits over.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Balls hit at 110. Right?
I know, isn't that something? It's so weird.
It's unbelievable, man. Don't care how you get them, but.
Yeah. How's the. It went defensively, not exactly knowing exactly where you're going to play. How do you prepare yourself each and every day, especially in the regular season? Because there's no way of knowing where you might go in.
That's a good question. You know, I started doing this in 2015, so it's literally been 10 years now since I've been doing this. And so it's just trial and error all those years, but just kind of building a routine, man, of knowing where I need to touch up at. I'm a big believer in if I am really good at shortstop, I will be good anywhere else on the dirt. So okay. if my work good is at short, it translates to third, second, first, whatever, right? It's just footwork. And then the outfield, man, like, if I'm not playing, I'm just bobbing it, like, taking balls up the bat during BP. That's, you know, as an outfielder, yep. That's the best way to get live reads, man. Like, you can do machine work, but like actually hearing like the crack of the bat and swings, and you know, sometimes a guy takes a big swing and it's really not hit that hard. So just being able to trust your footwork and your reads like that, that's the best game reps is during BP if you're not playing in the game. So just really doing that and focusing on that is a big part of my routine.
Utility man Tyler Wade joins us here. And Tyler, one of the words that seemed like was said a lot, especially early in camp, was continuity. I thought last year watching you guys as a team offense, I thought you guys performed as well as any team in terms of doing whatever needed to be done. We talked a little bit with Jake earlier about the same subject. In a lot of ways, when I watch you guys, especially when you guys are intact, like what it looks like during a regular season, it seems like these spring training at-bats are built around kind of continuing the same exact approach at the plate, team approach at the plate. Has that kind of been the case in spring training?
Yeah, man. I think when we, if you look at the second half of the year, man, like the continuity of it, it's one unit. It's 1 through 9. We're all same common goal, right? We play to the scoreboard. We play to the situation. We have a really intelligent baseball group. Like our IQ in that room, man, is through the roof. So I think you see that in the at-bats, right? Like you know exactly what you need to do in situations. You play for the game, man.
Right,
we're not playing for the back of the baseball card, you know what I mean? It's everyone's buying into one common goal, and when things happen that way and everyone's pulling on that same loop, man, like special things happen, and that's when you see unselfish at-bats. And then it's funny, when you have unselfish at-bats, at the end of 162, your numbers are going to look pretty good because you're playing good team baseball. And yeah, man, I think that's just what makes this group special, is we buy into something bigger than yourself.
It's worked out really well, and Tyler Wade has been a big part of it. He joins us here from spring training. All right, the fans, the media, the people that aren't really on behind the scenes, we think the Yankees are the evil empire, and they are horrible, and they are bad, and they are mean. And you played in that organization 5 years. Is there a difference, honestly, between being in the Yankee organization and the Padre organization?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, I know.
That is one hell of a
and we have a
question.
Lot of listeners in New York, right, Tony?
That is one hell of a loaded question. You're going to get me in trouble for this. Nah, I mean, yeah, there's differences and
there
similarities,
are.
Right? I think the similarities are, you know, they're both family-ran organizations in terms of, like, good people in the clubhouse. You treat everyone well. It's just ran like a family, man. It's you know, obviously, at the end of the day, it's a business. But, like, everyone in the room, in the group, it's family, man. Like, we're with each other more than we are with our actual family. So,
right.
Like, let's get along. Let's go for the same goal. And also, it's about winning each and every day, right? Like, I think that's, like, the biggest thing that I think I've noticed here from there is the similarities. Is it doesn't matter what we did yesterday. It's about how do we win today. You know, and I think that's just, like, the Yankee way, man. Like, I think that's part of being a Padre, too, is win the day. So those are the similarities. And the differences, man, like, I mean, it's playing in New York versus it's West Coast, East Coast, right? It's completely two different vibes. You can't really compare it's apples to oranges, but I'll tell you what, man, like the atmosphere San Diego gives every single day, like
it's up there.
In my opinion, it's more electric, man, just from the everyday. Okay. You know, it's to me, it's a special place, and you know, New York's mecca, but when it comes to San Diego baseball, bro, there's really I don't think you can compare.
One of the things that, you know, you've had to do since you've been here is at least I've noticed, is Jackson Merrill seems to be, you know, close to you at all times. You guys seem to have a very good relationship.
Yeah.
Year two for this young man. I mean, what is the best advice you're giving, that if he's asked, that you would give him going into year two?
Bro, I'm not even – it's not even like he's asking. It's just, you know, the kid's special, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been very fortunate and blessed enough to, talking about New York, is I came up with really good role models, man. I had CeCe Sabathia, I had Brett Gardner, I had Aaron Judge, like all these guys that do it the right way and have all this wisdom that was passed on to me. I feel like it's my responsibility to, you know, share some wealth, you know, whenever the times, you know, I'm not pushing it on him or anything
like that.
Whenever I think the time's appropriate or whatever, if he brings something up, I'm just sharing my wisdom, man, just because, you know, a kid like that, he's going to grow the game and he's going to be a leader in the face of this franchise for a long time, man. So, yeah, I just want to make sure he's as comfortable as possible, and that was my goal last year. The league's hard, man, and obviously he didn't make it look hard, but just trying to make sure he's as comfortable as he can be.
When the game's when you're in the middle of a ball game, are you thinking – along the lines of a Mike Schilt, and having now played for him for a year, in the sense that you kind of can sense the way a game is going, where you might be used later in the game?
Yeah, man. Mike does a really good job of communicating that to me. And I think if you were to ask him now, he don't even have to tell me. I just think I'm reading his mind, and it goes down to like just the communication aspect of now is like what I need to be ready for. And then obviously things change throughout the year, but I just feel like we're on a good similar wavelength when it comes to that.
Well, Tyler Wade, we appreciate it as always. You know, the Yankee fans are the Yankee fans, but the Padre fans are the Padre fans. I think you handled that question perfectly, well done, honestly.
I stepped through that one.
You stepped through it nicely. Yeah, I didn't mean anything by putting you in that position.
No,
I'm sorry
good,
I did that.
It's early in the morning. You're trying to check where I was at.
Just trying to, you know. Anyway, you're on a roll, and it's only March, man. Good to
appreciate
catch up with you.
Back.
Thanks so much, Tyler.
Nice to see you guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks, guys.
And we're back, Chris.
Good work from Tyler Wade. Padres do everything utility guy. And, you know, he was part of it all last year. Signed to a $1 million deal?
He was tendered, yes, $1 million.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad if you can get the work.
Who wants to pay me $1 million? I'll go do anything.
I would love to pay you $1 million. That would mean that I would have $1 million in the first place to pay you.
Good point.
So I'd be very happy to do that. All right. Padres are heading to Scottsdale. They'll be playing the Giants tonight. We'll have the game for you on 97.3 The Fan right after our show is over at 6 o'clock. But a lot still to get done before our show is over. Brandon Lockridge, another guy trying to make this team as a do-everything utility guy. And he's fast. Outfielder, though. He doesn't play infield. That's the difference between him and Tyler Wade.
Yeah.
But Lockridge, he can run. He's already stolen 5 or 6 bases this spring. And remember, he was on the playoff roster last year.
He was.
Brandon Lockridge. A lot of people forgot about him. But he's still here, and he still wants to make this club. We'll talk to him about that. Later on, Dylan Cease, Jason Adam, Big Five.
Lots of guy.
What?
I said, what else you got?
I don't know. I'll think of something on 97.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. 3:37 The Time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby on the back porch here at Peoria Padres Spring Training Complex. Tony Gwynn Jr. and the rest of the Padres are on their way to Scottsdale. They play the Giants there tonight. And you can hear the game right here on 97.3 The Fan. Starting at 6:10. 6:10 also happens to be the start time tonight for the Aztecs and North Carolina.
North Carolina.
In the NCAA tournament. Got this from Michael Glastek. I don't know if that's his real name. Glass Tech rhymes with Aztec, so I'm not sure that's his real name, but it's on Twitter. I'm just bringing it up, Scraby, just in case. But Michael says another fun fact. North Carolina lost 13 games this year. 12 of them came to teams that had defensive rankings in the top 40. 12 of the 13.
Okay.
Aztec's defense ranked 13th. Puts the Aztecs in the top 40.
I was going to say.
Those are the kind of teams that beat North Carolina this year.
I'm with it.
Michael, if you're right, I'll be giving you full credit tomorrow.
But, yeah, what if he's wrong? No one's ever going to talk about it again.
I know. But I hope he's right.
It's, at least it's a positive thing to think about.
Something positive, yes. Everything else is, you know, why are the Aztecs even – why did they even bother flying to Dayton, Ohio?
I don't know.
You know, I mean,
not much in Dayton.
And why did North Carolina bother? North Carolina should have just gone straight to Milwaukee for the next round because everybody has them there already.
They should have.
My goodness. By the way, I am not thrilled at all with the projections that I've seen for the NCAA tournament this year from people that I highly respect and like, by the way. I'm going to start with Jay Billis, because we love Jay Billis' show. He hasn't been on in a while, and after this next statement, he probably won't be on for a lot longer while.
Should I brace?
No, but come on, Jay. He picks the NCAA tournament in on ESPN, right? And he picks every game of the tournament. And he's one of the most knowledgeable guys in college basketball and the whole thing. And we look to him for insight and, you know, commentary and, you know, the understanding of things. First, he picked North Carolina over the Aztecs. That's fine. That's his opinion. I'm surprised, though, because he went to Duke, and I thought maybe he would pick against Carolina.
Yeah, that is interesting.
But he didn't. He picked North Carolina. But here's the thing that gets me for, you know, somebody, the smarts of Jay Billis. His Final Four is all four number one seeds. And I just, the thing is, it's only happened one time.
When was it recent?
No, it was the Derrick Rose year.
Oh, so a long time ago.
Memphis, and they lost to Kansas in the final.
Is that Mario Chalmers?
Mario Chalmers. And I think the other two teams were UCLA and maybe North Carolina. I don't remember the fourth team. But, yeah, that was the only time it's ever happened. I believe 2008. Look it up, Scraby. All four number one seeds made the Final Four. And but beyond that, Jay Billis is not only picking those four teams to go to the Final Four, but in his Elite Eight, he has the one seeds playing the two seeds in every region.
Well,
and I just, that's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I know that Florida and Auburn and Houston and who's the other number one seed? Duke. I know they're all great. And I know all the two seeds are really good. Alabama's good. Tennessee's good. Michigan State, et cetera. St. John's is the other number two seed. But to think that all eight of them are going to make the Elite Eight? Come on.
You are right about 2008, though.
Yeah.
Memphis, UCLA, Kansas, North Carolina.
That was it. Okay. Yep. And that's the only time it's ever happened. So, now, if Jay Billis is right in the end, then he gets the last laugh on me. But I don't know. I expect at least a little something.
Also, whenever I pick my bracket and I see at the end that I've picked all number one seeds, I'm like, I got to go change this.
Right.
This
I got to change something.
This is not going to happen.
I got to change something.
And by the way, if you want to go and join our bracket competition, our bracket challenge, just go to Facebook. There's a post up there. You'll see you can sign up for 97.3 The Fan's Bracket Challenge. And you could also go to Twitter, 97.3 The Fan SD.
And if you pick all four number one seeds, you'll get chastised by me.
And if they're right, you can chastise Chris.
That's right. If you end up being right, then you can chastise me. But I can't pick all number right. I can't.
It's tough.
I can't do it.
It's tough.
And I can't pick all eight teams going to the Elite Eight either. It's too much parity in college basketball. Haven't we learned that in the last
not anymore
5 or 6 years? These eight teams are all great, but there's other teams that can certainly beat them. Let's check some traffic while I'm angry. And then let's visit with Brandon Lockridge, a guy you probably should find out a little bit more about because he's got a better than chance than you think of making this baseball team.
Continuing our coverage here from the Peoria Sports Complex Padres spring training, we're joined by our next guest, Brandon Lockridge, who is having a terrific spring to this point, although it got off to a little bit of a slow start because of some illness, which kind of was circulating through the whole clubhouse. Nonetheless, you've had a pretty good spring. First, welcome. How's the day going for you today?
It's going really good. Looking forward to this little later start day, you know, playing my first night game of the spring, kind of get back into that rhythm, you know, of playing night games. So looking forward to it.
Talk a little bit about your camp so far. I mean, one of the guys competing for one of these roster spots, you got off to a little bit of a slow start due to illness. You come back and really have hit the ground running for the most part. Just talk about getting through the sickness part and still coming back and trying to do some things that impressed the staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hopeful that I would avoid the sickness
right.
thing this year. I got sick last spring in like late January, lost a bunch of weight, was thankful that my sickness was over with in a couple days with the medicine and whatnot. So I avoided that, which was nice. But yeah, I guess, you know, coming into camp, I was excited for the opportunity. This is kind of, I'd said the other day that this is the first spring that I felt like I, you know, was competing for a position out of camp.
Real opportunity.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's a completely different mindset coming in. There's like a lot more, you know, drive, hopefulness, whatnot, especially getting that taste last year. It's, you know, that's where I want to be ultimately. And, you know, I'm very thankful that I've had the opportunity to play a good bit this spring and I've performed well. It's been a really fun spring.
I can't believe Tony kept using the word slow start. Can't use slow around this guy.
That's true. That is a good point.
The fastest guy we have, maybe. Talk a little bit about, you know, your speed and how you utilize that in your game and how you're also, I'm sure, trying to show everyone in this organization that your game is much more than just speed.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the speed aspect of my game, I didn't use it early in my career, and it was just, you know, I had it obviously on the base paths, home to first, outfield, whatnot, but, you know, last few years really utilizing it on the base paths to steal bases and, yeah, you know, put some pressure on, you know, defenses. I think that's been a big, you know, help to my career. So, yeah, I definitely keep try to keep that as locked in as I can be and try to use that aggressiveness to make the other team uncomfortable, whether that opens up, you know, good pitches for our hitters to get or, you know, some forced errors in the field. That's kind of my mindset is, you know, if I'm having a slow day offensively, how can I affect the game, you know, without necessarily being able to swing it that day? Can I make some plays in the outfield, reach on air? How can I get in the scoring position and help, you know, score some runs for the team? So
yeah, it's one of the things we heard Jake Cronenworth speak about in terms of when you're not swinging the bat well, how can you still affect the game? How can you still help your ball club? You've been putting that on display here so far. Talk a little bit about as a speed guy, because I know coming into camp, right, you go all off season, you're working on trying to maintain that and being explosive. Then you get in the game and you're trying to now get the timing on certain plays where you want to take an extra base. There's a little bit of trial and error in that early, and then you get into a rhythm and just kind of talk about that process a little bit of kind of reacclimating yourself to game situations, when to take off, when not to, things of that nature.
Absolutely. I think anybody that's been watching, I've had a few, you know, base running blunders this spring, but in my head, I'm going to err on the side of aggression this time of year. I'm going to push the limit, see what I can and can't do, and then, you know, use that information to learn from it and be the best player I can be in season. So, you know, we've had some really good meetings covering all aspects of base running and situations and, you know, just bringing to light some situations and what spots to be aggressive in, what spots not to be aggressive in. And, you know, that's been great. I've learned so much from that.
Yeah.
Hearing the other players speak, you know, we had a lot of veterans in the room that have taught me a lot, and, you know, hearing their perspective on things has been huge. So it's been good.
Brandon Lockridge is with us, and he wasn't with us earlier in your career. You were in New York with the Yankees. Other than being able to grow a beard now that you're here, although
which you now can do over in New York.
I heard the Yankees changed that. But other than that, some of the differences, you know, and what's the process been like, you know, coming to a new organization? And do you feel like this has really been a beneficial thing for you in your career?
I absolutely do. You know, I'm super thankful. I was very fortunate to be drafted by the Yankees and be given an opportunity by them. So, you know, I'm going to be forever grateful for those guys. I thought it was a great organization to come up in. I learned a lot. I think I wouldn't be the player I am today without their, you know, help and whatnot. So, but from a change of scenery thing, you know, it's they have a really good team there. They spend a lot of money. And as a guy that's just wanting an opportunity and I've worked really hard to live out this dream, you know, the opportunity didn't seem like it was going to be there. So, yeah, you know, getting traded over here and, you know, hearing some, you know, from the front office and whatnot about how they, you know, value me. It was so refreshing to hear and, you know, to see that actually happen for me down the stretch last year and be a part of that team, that unbelievable group of guys last year that, you know, really it was a dream come true for me. Like I've always dreamed about playing in the big leagues and although a small role, it was great to be a part of. And, you know, the Padres organization has welcomed me with open arms and, you know, top to bottom here, everybody has been amazing.
Getting a start here tonight as the Padres will head over to Scottsdale to take on the Giants. We're getting down to the end here. And how do you avoid trying to do too much in these final days? I mean, everybody knows that this roster is going to be it's going to be a close deal for a lot of guys. You have certainly put yourself in position to be one of those guys. How do you avoid worrying about, you know, overdoing it as we come down the stretch?
It's definitely tough. Like I said, this is a whole new situation to be in. It's a great situation to be in, but there's some learning, you know, a learning curve that goes with it. And
yeah.
There's been a couple of days here in the last week where it's worn on me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, I think Schulte said it great. The other day I was talking to him and he said, man, you go out there and have fun and let the pieces fall
what he meant. Yeah.
Let us decide what's going to happen. Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of my focus is, you know, it's more the downtime where I dwell on it.
Right.
You know,
like right. Where you're in the work process is you exactly. Lost in it.
I can get past that and know that, you know, I just got to play my game and, whether that's, you know, on opening day or later in the season, I'm going to do my part to provide value and, you know, hope that there's a chance down the road if that doesn't come on opening day.
It's going to happen. I mean, we know Brandon Lockridge. He's going to be one of the guys this year, you know, whether it's right at the beginning or throughout the season because we've seen it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it takes more than 26. I'm not sure how to totally ask this, but when you're sitting there in the offseason and the organization – signs Jason Hayward, signs Connor Joe, guys that are now going to be competing with you. What's your attitude? How do you deal with stuff like that, knowing that there's more guys coming in to try and keep you from getting where you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, you see it and you're like, okay. But then I put myself in, you know, the organization's shoes and it's like, look, man, I've got 12 major league at-bats. There's a high risk in just trusting me, you know, like coming off the – So I can completely understand you've got a lot of, you know, experience value in these guys, played the game at a high level for a very long time. I mean, it would honestly be not smart, I think, in my opinion, to just go with this guy that has no experience. You have no idea. And then you're kind of stuck in season with whether I perform or not. You know, it's a humongous risk. And I just truly can't blame them at all. I hope to prove them that I can, you know,
be one of those guys.
Be one of the guys. But you know, I completely understand where they're coming from, and you know, I just hope that there's an opportunity at some point.
How about that? Someone with a little bit of feel in their life. You know what I'm saying? We get that lost sometimes.
Yeah.
Brandon, listen, man. As a guy who's been in your role before, I appreciate the way you go about your business. It's been a lot of fun to watch you here in camp, and I'm hoping that one way or another we get a chance to see a lot of you this year. Keep going. Finish this spring strong, and let's see where the chips fall.
Awesome job, guys, with Brandon Lockridge. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
Yeah, I like Brandon Lockridge, and he's going to be part of this for sure.
Last answer was
It was
really
honest.
Refreshing.
It was honest.
It was refreshing to
he
me.
He said, look, I have 12 major league at-bats. I understand why they wouldn't just hand me the job in left field.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to bring in some people, but he's also confident that he can do that job. And he's fast. I mean, this guy's almost an automatic stolen base.
Yeah, he's really
when he's
fast.
On. So he's going to be part of it this year, whether it's in the opening day roster or not, he'll be part of it. And I think it was a pretty good trade from the Yankees, being as we got him and they got Eniel De Los Santos.
He's not on the team.
He's
he
not
didn't
really,
even make it to the end of the season. With
I
the
don't
Yankees.
Think so. No. So
that could have worked out for him because they went to the World Series, but
no, they didn't have Eniel when it was all over. All right, we got hour number three. More Padre interviews from Peoria spring training. Do not move, Gwynn and Chris.